Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Gunathchish, hawa, taksknusam, salama, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon from Community Supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. Conversations for today, Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. I can't believe January is almost over already. Sarah Lewis is here to preview upcoming courses and classes from the UAF Cooperative Extension here in Juneau. Classes in brain health, bone health, and a spring kitchen series are on the docket. Conbrio Chamber Series presents Winds in Winter this Friday and Saturday, January 30th and January 31st. It will feature a concerto for flute and a concerto for clarinet and features Sally Schlichting, Karen Pallenberg, and Kyle Farley Robinson. Sally and Karen are here to share a preview. And speaking of music, we begin today with this weekend's Alaska Music Summit, a yearly event hosted by Music Alaska, which seeks to elevate music across the state. The summit is for music performers, bookers, technicians, teachers, community members, all to elevate the Alaska music scene by sharing updates and generating ideas, networking, and learning. It's this weekend in Juneau, Saturday, January 31st, and Sunday, February 1st, with panels, workshops, and more. And here to break it down for us from Music Alaska is the one and only, the legendary, Marion Call.
Gunathchish, Boston. But calm down, I'm hardly legendary.
Gunathchish.
Don't give me a lifetime achievement award yet, I'm just getting started.
Not yet. You got so much going on, though. You do so much. But Wasiti, how are you today, Marion?
Wonderful, and it is very nice to see you.
It's good to see you as well.
Yeah.
So let's just reset the scene for those who haven't heard of Music Alaska. Tell us a little bit about that organization, and we'll start there.
Sure. Music Alaska is a statewide entity, originally called Akimi. We've been around since 2016, 2017. And this year, I'm very proud to have formed our own board and incorporated as of 2025 and filed for 501c3 status. Anyone else here listening who's in nonprofits knows how big a deal that is. But what we've been working on all that time for the last 7, 8 years is there's so many amazing music entities in Alaska, individual performers and teachers and schools and venues and, I mean, even photographers, videographers, nonprofits, ensembles like our local strings and winds and composing groups, right? All of those are kind of little amazing dots on a map, but a state entity is really useful to help both help them interface with each other and find each other, communicate with each other, and to try to do things in the state that help elevate all of those groups. For example, promoting Alaska music statewide or promoting good music policy at the local and state level or connecting our Alaska musicians with musicians outside, like in Canada and Washington and Oregon and Idaho, in Iceland, right? That kind of takes a group that's zoomed out a little bit and a group that makes a lot of spreadsheets and holds a lot of events like the one that we're working on right now. So the Alaska Music Summit is kind of our flagship series of events for the public. And this is once a year. I just got back from the Alaska Music Summit in Fairbanks, actually, that was thrown by a group of Fairbanks locals. It was incredible. And what a summit looks like is people who are involved in making music. That doesn't have to mean performers. That can mean, you know, your open mic host. Can mean bartenders. Can mean filmmakers and photographers. Can mean folks who work in arts nonprofits. It can mean venue owners. It can mean folks who have a summer outdoor experience that they think, oh my gosh, it'd be fun to add music to this in some way. Like we have a lot of our salmon bakes, for example, across the state host musicians. Any of those people can all come together, kind of talk to each other, meet each other, and get kind of updates, right? And free lunch.
Yeah, and free lunch. And this is a no-cost event, right?
This is a no-cost event. It's on Saturday, the 31st at the Jack, 10 to 4. So you can go and still make it to the string concert. The Winds concert at night. And there's several great shows at night. We have it during the day so that our music makers can come.
And so to just sum up for folks, this isn't just for musicians, right? This is for anyone who's involved in booking a musician or educating people about music.
Absolutely.
Or all the different types of folks who might be able to get together and cross-pollinate and network and find out more about what's going on with the music scene.
Absolutely. We have a lot of volunteer DJs who come. And we have folks who are music boosters, folks who love house concerts. I mean, just there's a lot of different ways to be connected to music in our town. I mean, look at Folk Fest. You have just thousands of people come out of the woodwork and who participate in music a little bit. And that's very normal culturally. And we love that. We want to make that normal because it's good for mental health. It's good for culture. It's good for community.
Yeah.
And music has been being made here for thousands and thousands of years and will continue to be made here as long as there are people here. And that is supporting that basic part of human life is something that society, the way we've built it, doesn't do proactively. And so some of us are here to say, hey, let's pay attention to this fundamental thing humans do, and let's make it easy. Let's make it good. Let's make it pay well when it needs to pay. Let's make it accessible where it's supposed to be free. And let's kind of loop everybody in together, come up with good solutions.
Before we get into the weeds of the schedule, because I want to let people know what's going to be happening with both the Saturday and then the Sunday workshops. I know there was a study that all happened a couple years ago, but I'm just trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. What is the state of music in Alaska in 2026?
Well, someday we'll have enough money to do a study like that every year. But
Our
most recent study in 2023 told us that employment in music, people may not think they know a lot of musicians, but they probably know a lot of people employed because of music, because that includes a lot of music teachers, that include people with home studios, for example, that includes people doing production, like audio engineers who might show up at your conference and be amplifying just people talking on microphones, but they'll also work in music primarily, right? You guys on the radio are all connected to music, and you use music between almost every segment of the radio. We love hearing our local composers in little bits and pieces, just like on the theme song to this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all these people working in music actually amount to around 1% of employment in the state, which is actually pretty large. And it's more people than are employed in utilities total in the state of Alaska. We were able to confidently say that. And in Juneau, we actually have higher employment and participation in the music ecosystem per capita than cities like Seattle and New York. A lot of people care about this and are involved in this here. And I'm not surprised, because I was out on Tuesday night, last night, and there are people out at all the bars, and every bar is having some kind of music-connected event, even on a random Tuesday night. You know, it'll be open mic, or it'll be jazz night, or it'll be karaoke. It'll be something. What you don't do generally is walk into a bar and have total silence, because that's not how humans relax and feel comfortable, you know?
Wow.
So that presence of music is important. Part of what we advocate for is local music in more of those spaces, even in the background, right?
Yeah.
Like music by Alaskans in the background on the buses going to the glacier.
Sure.
Music in the background when people are landing on the cruise ships. I mean, when we're disembarking from Alaska Airlines planes, you land in Hawaii, you hear Hawaiian music. I would love to land here at home like I did at midnight the other night. Thanks for getting me in 4 hours late, guys, but I was so glad I didn't have to sleep in Anchorage. I would love to land in Juneau and hear Juneau music, you know, in the airport or on the airplane, because that's the music of our place, right?
Right.
But to make all that happen, to make that sort of like positive forward movement happen, it just takes kind of like work. It takes advocacy and data work. And so add me to that 1% of people who work in music in the state.
And putting on a summit where people can gather and talk about this. So let's talk
about
the schedule a little bit.
Sure.
What is the situation? Because I know on Saturday it's like 10 to 4. It's over at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. And there's going to be what happens on Saturday?
Let me actually back up to Friday.
Okay. Oh, Friday.
Friday. If you're listening to this and you're like, that's not really my bag, that sounds cool, but I'm doing other things on Saturday. What you should know is that we are actually having a fundraiser to support the Music Summit and make it free to everyone.
Okay.
And to support this work of like, okay, how do we get from here to Alaska music on our buses to the glaciers?
Sure.
Right? That there's a lot of steps. If you are interested in that, or if you just like trivia, we are having a music trivia night on Friday night.
Oh.
And that is at the Hangar Ballroom.
Okay.
And that is, it's $10 a head. It's not expensive, but this is like Friday night trivia by Connor Lendrum. Connor's a great trivia host. He does Tuesday nights at Devil's Club. But this is like, this is dress up Friday night trivia, right?
Okay.
The questions are not not all about Alaska music, but they are all about music. And they do kind of touch on Alaska in really fun ways. I can't reveal any secrets, but the rounds are incredible. They're very fun, very funny. So we invite you to come. You can either bring a team of six, up to six, if you have a trivia team, or you can just come and get shuffled in with another trivia team. And there's a silent auction, and the prize for winning our trivia night is your outgoing voicemail as recorded in an original, new, very short song by The Getting Strangers. It's written by Josh Fortenberry of Rolling Stone fame now.
Of Rolling Stone fame.
Of That's Rolling so good. Stone fame as of this week, yeah.
And you can, this is a great warm-up because I think the World Quest is happening.
That's right.
On Saturday night.
You brought it up before I could, but that is what I was going to say. This is, if you are a trivia nerd,
yeah,
this is your weekend.
You got two
this
nights
is like,
in a row.
It's like the Platypus Con of trivia. So both evenings are going to be magnificent. World Quest is happening at Centennial Hall the following night. So if you want a Friday night warm-up in a smaller venue, tighter crowd, and questions that are focused on music, if you have that big vinyl collection and you have a head full of trivia about music, you should come down and prove it at Hangar Ballroom Friday night, 7:30.
7:30. Friday night Hangar Ballroom for a fundraiser. And did you say there's going to be some questions about Alaska music or Juno music?
There are a few questions about Juno music. We have consulted the Juno music elders and got some great trivia for you. And you'll have to use your ears a little bit. I can't tell you.
Oh, God. Give me a clue. You got to give me a head start.
Well, go talk to Connor.
Connor.
And see if you can get any advantage. But
yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We have some other great prizes as well. Jacob Pickard is going to be there playing music, improvised music live, like he used to do at Whoosh Kinyari.
Oh.
And he's going to be playing music live, and is going to improvise a song for the team name of the winning team, meaning you get to pick a team name with the most challenging rhyme you can think of. I'm looking forward to all the orange teams.
Yeah, right, orange.
I have rhymed with orange, though, I'll warn you. In the past, it can be done.
It can be done.
Yes. And as I said, custom voicemail from The Getting Strangers. It is so fun. I got to record it myself. It is a brand new 10-second long Getting Strangers song that will only belong to the winning team.
I want that.
So come on down. That's Friday night at the Hangar, 7:30, $10. Either at the door, or we have tickets in advance at akmusicsummit.com.
Okay.
All right. So Saturday is the actual music summit. This is for music makers, technicians, folks surrounding the music ecosystem. Music teachers are especially invited. We know that music education is so crucial to Juno's health and happiness, and it is also in flux right now. You know, it's desperately needed. It's underfunded, but we have a great legacy of music education here, and I'm hoping we can get our community, our folk fest loving, symphony loving, traditional music loving community to step in here and find new and exciting ways to keep music education vital here. So that's the kind of thing we would love to talk about at the Music Summit. 10 to 4, free lunch, drop in, drop out. You're welcome to come at the door, but if you register, that helps us at akmusicsummit.com. It's free. It's like four questions, just, you know, name and email, essentially.
Just to give you a sense of who's going to show up, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have the list of names of who is going to show up is already tremendous. We have a lot of some of our key performers, key bookers in town, key venues are sending folks. We have some amazing music teachers, some technicians. Last year it was really a who's who. Everybody was there. Everybody was hugging. We had new folks. We had amateurs, open mic folks, old time pros. It's really nice to get
That's really cool. Everyone in the same room.
Kind of when you get your metal bands and your symphony and your early music ensemble and your choir director from church and your elementary music teacher and your hip-hop crowd all in the same room, cool stuff happens, right?
Yeah.
We've got traditional drum makers here. We've got people who are song custodians and who are documenting traditional songs. We've got people who are in dance ensembles. There's just so many different ways of doing this. And when we talk to each other, we share information about like, oh, how do you book a good show? How do you make sure that this works for your group or that doesn't? How do you deal with personality, you know, conflicts in an ensemble, like a band? How do you form a band legally? How do you manage the money when there's like five people involved, right?
Right.
There's a lot to learn from each other.
And you mentioned that you just got back from Fairbanks, and there's another, for those who maybe have friends, because Anchorage is coming up next.
Anchorage is next weekend, February 7th.
So if you know people in Anchorage who you think might get benefit from this up there, let them know about this and send them to akamusicsummit.com and they can find out about the Anchorage dates. And then what's really cool is after the summit on Sunday, there's these cool workshops that are going to be happening from like noon to five, right?
There's two sets of workshops. Two of them are at noon and two of them are at 3 p.m. People have asked me to put on these workshops for a very long time, so I'm putting them on.
Okay.
So y'all better come. this is on Sunday afternoon. These workshops are, there's a recommended amount of $20, but that is, we can waive that if you, I think we're $25, but we can waive that for absolutely anyone who asks. Scholarships are free. We want you there more than we want $25. Mm-hmm. So that's also at akmusicsummit.com. We'll give you all the details, but I'll give you a rundown now. These are all downtown at the Spice Gallery and in the back room at Amalga.
Okay.
So you know Betsy Sims, don't you?
I do.
Boston.
I do. Doesn't everybody?
I should think so, but not everybody does. But Betsy Sims is one of the kind of audio engineering parents of this town. Like
sure.
Betsy and Keith are the two people who either are doing audio engineering or have trained all the audio engineers in this town.
Keith Giles, another friend of KTO's as well.
Big friends of KTO both, and we work on lots of things together. So Betsy Sims is teaching an intro to like how to deal with a sound system, right?
Oh, cool.
So how to set it up, just a really basic sound system. What is feedback? What are these two different kinds of cables and what do they do? What's the difference, you know? What are different kinds of microphones? How do you treat a microphone? Like kind of our goal is for more people, including musicians who get on a stage, to have a basic understanding of how the sound tech works.
Mm-hmm.
Because setting it up for a simple event where you just have someone speaking, for example, that's a skill that you can learn.
Right.
And we want folks to learn it. So if you're interested in just having someone at your organization be able to do that, if you're interested in starting to learn that, then that is this Sunday at noon. You can sign up at akmusicsummit.com. And also at that time, we have a visiting guest artist, Lisa Hawkins from Pipeline Vocal Project. They're a renowned Alaskan act that has toured the entire world. They've represented Alaska in Dubai and Cameroon and like Southeast Asia, across the United States. They're really amazing.
That's cool.
She is coming to teach about how to have a professional promo kit and brand suite. So if you're a band or an ensemble or an organization, like having your promotional materials together so you can promote an event effectively.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a workshop by her.
And that's a lot of times where people don't have the experience, right?
They
want to do the art, but they don't know how to do the promo. And like getting that information and that knowledge is just as valuable, as is the tech side.
Oh,
as
absolutely.
The art, right? So having all three of those components in your wheelhouse, in your bucket, is really helpful.
There's a lot of tools to kind of shortcut to having your brand or your artwork and so on, but that doesn't help you with keeping them organized. That doesn't help you with having them be effective and eye-catching and being what a booker or like a person wanting to attend something is looking for.
Mm.
And that definitely doesn't help you with like managing actually getting a booking and promoting it successfully. There's a lot of steps, and like talking through those is really key to successful events and successful promo. So she's amazing at it. She'll be teaching that at 3 p.m. Then we have a break, 2 to 3, coffee, snacks in between hangout time over at the Spice Gallery. If you drop in then and you don't come to a workshop, maybe I'll let you have a snack, but and then at 3 p.m. we have two more workshops. One is J-Bo Audio. That's Josh Laboka. He is a local YouTube music instructor and mixing and mastering instructor. He's a recording. He's done a lot of air jazz recordings. He's done a lot with Lance Mitchell. He's done a lot with a lot of our local songwriters. He was just recording Taylor Vidic's vocals. He's a great local engineer who has a home studio. And together with his daughter, they teach like how to play guitar, how to mix, how to use this mixing tool in audio software. Like
cool.
He teaches all that on YouTube in little clips. So he's going to talk about, if you're someone who is interested in putting video content online regularly, this could be music. It could also be if you're interested in like influencing or just having a YouTube channel with regular content. He's going to talk about how to manage that, how to do it, because he's been doing it for years and wrestling the algorithm. So that's called creating content in the age of the algorithm. This video is increasingly important to musicians.
Absolutely.
If they want to stay relevant, right? And unfortunately, that video is vertical. I know nothing about
vertical.
It. I don't
it's
understand it. Things are changing so
fast.
Got
to get into the shorts, Marian.
I know. So he understands how that works. So if you are mystified by all this, but you need to know know how to do it. Josh can teach that. This is really a stunning kind of class to have. I'm very excited that we're able to offer it.
And
so
you
that's
can't
this
go
Sunday.
To it because you're going to be teaching at the same time.
I know. I'm teaching at the same time, but I'm going to try and make friends with Josh and have him let me come hang out someday. I'll work toward it.
And what are you teaching?
I'm teaching intro music theory. There's a lot of folks in town who are amazing musicians, and you can be a world-class musician without knowing music theory, right? Mm-hmm. They might know how to read all the music on a score, for example, but then not how to write new music of their own, or how to write down something that they've made up. Or there's a lot of people who write songs or play guitar, play piano, without being able to understand exactly what they're doing or explain it to another musician. Like it might be hard to write a chart. Or I've played with people who are shredding incredible guitarists who don't know the difference between a major and a minor chord, really, if I ask them, you know? And it's not necessary to understand this to be a great musician, but it really helps when you want to start communicating with other musicians. And it can unlock composing and improvising in your mind to understand a little bit of kind of the building blocks of music. So it's a little bit like you can learn to speak a language fluently without knowing how to read or write or how to diagram sentences. But when you do learn how to read, write, diagram sentences, then you can communicate with other people in a whole new way. So that's kind of music theory. That's what it's like, is why are the chords named that? How do you make a chord progression? How do you make your own music more interesting? Because I think we all have defaults. We all have like music composition tricks that we default to. And you want to be able to identify those and start to like go, oh, when do I want to use my own personal cliches and when do I want to break out of them? And that's something you can do when you are able to kind of analyze what you're doing through the lens of music theory. So it's just an intro to that.
Yeah.
This is a long discipline, but my dad taught this my whole life and I'm really excited to bring a few of these lessons to anyone who is interested. So you can come to that and bring an instrument and we'll get started.
I love it. It's the Alaska Music Summit. It's happening all weekend long, beginning Friday with a fundraiser down at the Hangar Ballroom.
Trivia.
Get your trivia on at 7:30 for a donation of $10. And you get a free, if you win, you get a voice message from the Getting Strangers, a new 10-second song. That's just a
That's
really
right.
cool
It's
prize.
Your outgoing That's... voicemail by the Getting Strangers. It's like Carl Castle used to do for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
That's so fun. And then on Saturday is the full summit and Sunday are the workshops. You can get the full schedule and all the information and sign up for all of this. There's no cost for the summit. And you can go to akmusicsummit.com to get all that information. Marian, thanks so much. Gunachish, for being here.
Gunachish. Thank you, Boston.
Yeah. And in honor of the Getting Strangers, we have one member of the Getting Strangers, Josh Fortenberry, who's performed live on Juno Afternoon a number of times. We'll go out of this interview with one of his songs that he did here in the studio live on the red carpet. This is Groundhog. Thank you, Marian. Gunachish.
I could argue with a statue, still think I won. And I've been holding back a promise and holding at a gun. I've been lying to my parents about how much I run. But that is not the worst thing I've done. Family is a contract no one ever signed. And I think love is eyes wide open, true hate is blind. And I've been hiding from my friends, but none of them are prying. I never learned to take a hit, but I'm trying. Watch another movie about living the same day over and over, about some trouble getting sober, about trading places with another, about some enemy-turned lover, about the realities of war, or learning what we're fighting for. And I'm not dreaming anymore. I'm not dreaming anymore.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your community-supported KTOO on 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension serves all of Alaska, interpreting and extending relevant university research-based knowledge and skills in an understandable and usable form to the public. And here in Juneau, the Cooperative Extension has some valuable classes coming up on brain health, a spring kitchen series, and tonight via Zoom, and it may be in person as well, there is a class on food and exercise for bone health. I'm joined now by Health, Home, and Family Development Agent Sarah Lewis to share more about these upcoming events. Gwyneth Cheesh,
Gwyneth Boston.
Wasi. How are you, Sarah?
Okay.
You have a lot going on. This February schedule you sent me, I'm just like, this isn't a once a week situation.
Yeah, no, the next couple months are part of my busy time for sure.
It's packed. So let's start tonight with, well, actually, before we begin,
I
asked Darren when he was here, we were doing garden talk and trying to explain, can you just help us understand the UAF Cooperative Extension. I mean, I explained it a little bit.
You did
from
an
the
awesome
website.
Job, actually. That's I was your, like,
that's,
woohoo.
That's your info from the website. I just
right,
stole
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But, like, what is the point of the Cooperative Extension and why is it here in Juneau?
Well, the Cooperative Extension, so we are an extension of the university, and we cooperate with university extensions all over the nation. So this is a nationwide cooperation of extension programs, if you can kind of look at it that way. So every land-grant university has a cooperative extension, has an extension associated with it, and ours is associated with Fairbanks.
Okay.
But cooperative extension is out in communities. It's not, we don't necessarily do four-credit classes. We are community education.
I see. That makes sense. Okay. So from land-grant or land-research universities, these are things that help get out in the community.
Right.
I love it. That's a great way
and
to say
it. And then we all talk to each other because there's different things going on all over the nation and different research and programs. So we grab things from each other in a cooperative fashion.
I love that. So let's start with this this food and exercise for bone health. It's
for
happening
bone
tonight.
Bone health tonight. Yes, this is one that you got to act on it pretty quick if you'd like to be involved. It is a Zoom. So it's food and exercise for bone health. It's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30 this evening. But if you are unable to watch it in, you know, live this evening, I will be recording it.
Oh,
so
excellent.
It will be available for the next 2 weeks to be watched, you know, at your leisure. It's an hour and a half, 5:30 to 7, $10 to register. And I think I've talked a little bit about bone health here with you in the past. We've talked about falling and breaking things and all that kind of stuff. But bone health is something that both men and women need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we're 50, 50% of women will have osteopenia, which is a lowering bone density, and 30% of men by the time they're 50 will be in the range of osteopenia, which means headed towards, a potentially harmful or detrimental low level of bone density.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and we fall a lot here.
We do.
In Alaska. We fall more than anywhere else.
Yeah, we do. Is that true?
We do. We fall out because we're super active outside. Uh-huh. We do lots of activities and we have those long summer days and those. Yeah, so we have very active lives, so there's a bit more falling. And, you know, a lot of times people don't worry about it until they're 65 or something, or until the first time they fall and break something.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's something that you can be preparing for, preventing, literally building yourself up for your bones and your muscles so that you have lower risk. So what I've got in this one is I talk about foods. I like to focus mostly on Alaskan foods. So
okay.
We'll be talking about things you can grow and harvest in Alaska.
Give me one or two examples.
Canned salmon, home canned salmon.
Okay.
With
That's
bones,
good for your bones.
Super good calcium, great yeah. vitamin D, both.
Right.
Critical for your bones. So, and then dark leafy greens. We grow kale, we grow chard, we grow bok choy. Those are all terrific. So I talk about those.
Okay.
Not just the dairy stuff that we always
think right,
about.
Right,
we don't
right.
have a whole lot of dairy cows. Some people do. Some
yeah.
people do, but not a whole lot.
It's good because, yeah. like, I know I take a vitamin D every day,
yep.
whatever it is, because
yep.
they tell me I need to,
yep.
and we should all be on it, I guess,
Pretty
here,
much.
Right? Because we don't get as much sun
much.
And
yep.
our
yep.
bone health and all that. Mm-hmm. So, but it's also nice to know some foods that I could eat that
yeah.
would supplement that as opposed to just having to take a pill. So.
Right.
That's
right.
tonight.
Absolutely. That's tonight.
And yeah, go ahead.
So we have a bunch of bit.lys, bit.ly. That's mm-hmm. how you get mm-hmm. to our different things. So
yep.
this one is bit.ly backslash bone health class.
Bone health class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those universities with their URLs
yeah.
are just so crazy all the time. I love that you're doing the bit.ly/bonehealthclass.
Bone
get
health
in
class.
On it tonight. If you're listening to the re-air tonight at 7,
yep.
sorry, it's too late, but you can get the Zoom recording.
Yep, that's right.
So, all right, so then
okay.
you've got this spring kitchen series. I want to hear about this because this has a bunch of cool stuff
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff. So it is going to be 6 classes. These are, again, Zoom classes, so you can join from the comfort of your own kitchen. And so I'm going to be doing February 2nd, going to be doing homemade cleaners. February 9th, refrigerator pickles. February 16th, probiotic pickles. So that's fermented pickles like sauerkraut and kimchi and things like that. The 23rd, we're going to be doing spring exercise, and it's going to be focused again on muscles and bones, but with a focus on getting ready for gardening, hiking, all of our summer
coming,
stuff.
It, yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. So there. It is coming someday.
So I want to go back a
yeah.
second here. Simple and effective homemade cleaners.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Well, because we have been... We've been told that we need to buy these spray containers with all kinds of fancy designs on them and nifty names. And really, the chemistry behind it is very simple. And you can, for much less money,
mm-hmm.
you can actually make your own with stuff that's probably already in your kitchen.
Is there something with lemons you can do to create?
There's things you can do with lemons because it has to do with pH.
Right,
a lot
okay.
of cleaning has to do with pH. So
yeah.
if it's something that is a basic thing that needs to be cleaned, you use an acid. So
okay.
basic things would be like mineral buildup. So things like lemon can sometimes help with that.
I see.
So,
okay.
but one of the best things is your standard old dish soap. You can make other cleaners out of your dish soap that, yeah.
That can work really well.
That can work really well.
Yeah. So one of the things, okay, so then you mentioned these pickle classes.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, Sarah.
Sure. Yes, Boston.
How do I learn to like pickles?
You,
Where do I start?
Possibly change your body chemistry because it could be a taste issue.
It might be. I think it's the vinegar.
So have you tried? There's two different types. There's your vinegar pickles.
Okay.
And there's your fermented pickles.
I don't know if I've
which
ever
are
had
salt
a fermented.
Fermented. So they're a different type of acid. So sauerkraut.
Okay.
Is a fermented pickle.
I see. Okay.
They will have slightly different, but they're all going to be high acid,
right.
sour tasting.
Right. So I do
yeah.
like Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. Yeah, Boston.
So not the same. But though
I think they do use some version of acetic acid in Sour Patch Kids, which
yeah.
is what you're going to find in your vinegar pickles. But
because I love yeah. cucumbers, right?
You know
I love
what?
Cucumbers.
And did you know that it's awesome to just eat your dang cucumbers? You don't have to pickle them.
I know, but pickles are so good.
People say they are.
Small batch
pickles are great. Like
okay.
if you're a wild harvester and you want to do, you know, a small batch of beach greens or something like that, learning to do refrigerator pickles.
So what's the before we get to the next set, because I know that's in February. There's
yes.
some other ones in March that maybe we'll talk about another time.
Later, yeah.
But like, so it's effective cleaners, refrigerator pickles, probiotic pickles, spring exercise. They basically are weekly. Where do we register for those? Is that another Bit.ly?
That's another Bit.ly. Okay. You know it. But now I need to find it.
Bit.ly.
Spring Kitchen Series.
Spring Kitchen Series. That makes sense. Okay. So that's where you go for if you want to sign. And those are all via Zoom.
Yes. Those ones that I've listed so far are all via Zoom.
Okay. And so that's really nice.
And I also record them. They're available for 2 weeks after.
2 weeks after. Okay. Yeah. And is there a cost for those ones?
Yes. Those ones are $12 each.
$12 each.
So the Spring Kitchen are $12 each, and the Bone Health class is $10.
Okay. So before we run out of time here, let's talk about loving your brain.
Yes.
These are awesome.
Yeah. So I've got a series of in-person stuff here in Juneau. So these are things that you go to. So Love Your Brain is through the library. So it's the Juneau Libraries. We've got two classes on February 10th and on February 12th. They are the same class. They're just at different libraries.
Okay.
And so it's a similar kind of thing to what I just talked about for bones. We're going to be talking about the nutrients that are really good for your brain, food that has those nutrients, and then how important our muscles are and using them is for our brains.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a booty brain connection. If you got strong legs and strong glutes, you're going to be helping your brain, actually. So, it's some good stuff.
And that is food and exercise for brain health. And when we're talking about brain health, what are we talking about there?
Long-term cognitive ability.
Okay.
Of course, it's prevention. We're trying to do prevention of any dementia. We're postponing it if that's, that's super helpful, of course.
Right, right.
So that's real. And general cognitive function. So even for folks who are younger, it's just understanding what moving does for our brain and what certain nutrients do for our brain, just so that throughout life, you're doing the best thing you can for your brain.
I see. Okay. I'm sure that Sour Patch Kids are not the best thing for my brain.
You know, if you go to a really great movie when you're watching them, it could be.
Could help a little bit. The sugar high for 20 minutes. Okay. And I'm going to say that I'm going to guess that's bit.ly love your brain, is it?
Well, that one's actually through the university.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that one you go to the university, not the university, I'm sorry, the libraries. You go
oh,
to the
libraries.
Yep, the libraries.
Okay,
the Juneau Public Libraries. Go to their calendar.
Juneau.org/library, and you can find their calendar, and that's where you sign up for that.
Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
Those are on February 10th or February 12th at the same class at 5:30 to 7.
The 10th is at the Valley Library. The 12th is downtown.
Okay, great. And is there another class here that we want to mention real quick?
Yes. So I do have two big ones coming up, but I'll talk about the one that starts in February. I have a B3 program, which is Better Bones and Balance. So it's actually a month-long fitness class. Again, there's a Bit.ly for it. So okay. B3 Thunder Mountain, and that one's through community schools.
B is in the letter B, and
yep,
three
B,
is in the number
three. Is in the number, and then
yep.
Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
And so that will take you to registering at community schools, basically. That is $159, but it's 3 days a week for 4 weeks. And it is a focus on strength and power training for folks who are either at risk for low bone density, which is most of us, or already have a diagnosis of osteopenia or osteoporosis. So it's focusing on good form and exercises that are beneficial.
Great. Okay. And that's the B3 class. You can go to bit.ly/B3Thunder Mountain. And then just to review, we have bit.ly/bone health class, which is tonight.
Yep.
And then also the Spring Kitchen Series, bit.ly/Spring Kitchen Series, or the Love Your Brain, go over to juneau.org/library, hit their calendar, and you can find those classes. This is a full February calendar.
Yes.
And for everything, you can also just put in your favorite search engine, UAF Cooperative Extension Juneau.
Yep.
You'll go right to that page,
right.
And all the information and everything is on there. Yeah, and one more thing.
I do have one more. We just added a fireside talk at the Glacier.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and so it's going to be called Cooperative Extension, Saving Civilization, One Jar of Pickles at a Time. So it's...
Okay.
I'm going to be presenting on the history of cooperative extension, what we do in Alaska, and we're even going to be making some pickles. But part of the reason I'm bringing it up is that they have changed the location of those. And instead of being at the Glacier, they're going to be at the Juneau Ranger District Office, which is at 8510 Mendenhall Loop. Okay. So that's where those talks are going
to
be.
Yeah, we have Pete Griffin on tomorrow to talk about his talk this Friday. We'll talk a little bit more about the location change as well. Sarah Lewis from the Cooperative Extension, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for sharing this with us and bringing it in. It's very helpful to hear about all these things.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Boston.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Okay. Thank you, Gwyneth Cheesh. This is Juno Afternoon, and I want to finish our series with the second regular session of the 34th Alaska Legislature underway. KTOO's morning host, Mike Lane, had sat down with all of the Juno delegation. Here's the final entry into that series in which Mike chats with Representative Andy Story to learn what's on her agenda for this session.
Welcome, Representative, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
The second regular session of the 34th Alaska Legislature has just begun. What are your top priorities for this session?
My top priorities for this session have to do with keeping our young people here, cost of living, housing is really important, and of course, education, and ferries.
And speaking of education, of course, you recently pre-filed a bill on education funding, House Bill 261. Can you give us a brief explanation of what the bill would do if passed?
Well, if you've been living in Juneau for a long time, you know that our education funding is backwards, that we do not get our numbers to our school districts till like June after the session is over. And so they are not being able to give contracts to their teaching staff, to staff at all. And so they're living in limbo. And they leave us, or we can't maintain them. And so this bill has us do our funding a year early where they get the number. It takes the average of the last 3 years' student count or your last prior year student count. So you can, whichever is greater. So we will give more stability to school districts. So that's just critically important. And this came about because I'm on the Task Force for Education Funding. We've been reviewing. If you are an independent school district, you have your own taxing authority. They usually take the current year and the prior 2 year, but we cannot raise our own revenue. We are dependent upon what the state does and our municipalities. It allows us to focus on student achievement and not redoing budgets and not our community in chaos because we have to predict all this cut. We don't know our number. So I want to give confidence to our school funding budget process.
So what is your plan for getting this bill passed?
Well, my plan for getting this bill passed is I co-chair education. I'm starting to talk to people about it. I have an advantage that I'm on the task force, and so people have read that report. They're aware of that, but just I have a lot of talking to do. But people have been living this roller coaster of instability for funding for school districts. So it's not going to be a surprise for them that we're trying to stabilize this.
What other bills have you sponsored or co-sponsored that you think could get traction or succeed this session?
Well, I'm really hoping my bill, which is in House Rules on housing investments, where ADA will be allowed to do workforce housing, to give developers loans for workforce housing of 5 dwelling units or more. This has been critical. We have to move on housing. There are a few things that AHFC does, but this is something ADA could do that would really help developers.
And get. ADA is?
The Alaska Industrial Development Economic Association.
Thank you. How can Alaskans inside and outside of Juneau get a hold of you?
907-465-3744. Of course, I'm on the website, but calling is really good. And I very frequently do Zoom meetings, you know, phone calls. And I do that with Alaska residents, too, Juno residents who do not want to drive and try and find parking downtown. They just call and we set up a meeting. So please call, please email. That is probably the number one thing we have to do is bring the community, the state, in on our policies and get their voices heard. And so I like to hear what people really want me to be working on.
To wrap up, as one of Juneau's representatives, what do you see as your ultimate duties and responsibilities to the people of Juneau and all of Alaska?
Really to meet our constitutional obligations because it is so important. The people of the state, we have a lot of resources in the state. The biggest resource we have is each of us, is the people. And so I want to try and bring that voice up to the Capitol that it's important, our human resources, and how are we making sure we have quality of life here.
Representative Andy Story, thank you so much for joining us, and I wish you the best this session.
Thank you.
That was Mike Lane with Representative Andy Story on her priorities for this year's legislative session. Catch Mike Lane every morning during Morning Edition between about 5:45 and 8:30 every day here on KTOO. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Kalen Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This weekend, Conbrio Chamber Series presents Winds in Winter with featured artists Karen Pallenberg on clarinet and Sally Schlichting on flute. Two concerts, one on Friday at 7 p.m. at the Kinnickhede Northern Light United Church, and on Saturday at 2 p.m. Is it in the Alaska? Is it in the atrium again?
It's in the atrium.
Excellent. Again, yeah. The Alaska State Museum atrium, the beautiful sound in there. Both events are pay as you can. Karen and Sally join me now in studio. Gunnith Chi, thank you so much. Yeah. How are you? Wasiati. Sally, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank
and
you
Karen, nice to meet you. Wasiati, how are you today?
Pretty good.
Okay, and what is this that I still have sort of underneath us a little bit? What is this piece that we're listening to?
We're listening to the Chanson Tarantella, which is a piece we're going to close with on the program.
Awesome. That's so good. That's a little bit of wonderful music. It's a little, this is the combination. You're both playing on this, right?
Yes, with Kyle Farley Robinson on piano.
Kyle Farley Robinson will be on the piano. And this recital is called Winds in Winter. Now, this has got some other works to it. Let's talk about the program, Sally, and because you're each featured on a different piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, this was Karen's idea. It's not mine. This is Karen's harebrained idea that she wanted to do, let's do concertos. So we're doing concertos. So she's doing a concerto for?
Doing the Aaron Copland concerto. It was commissioned by Benny Goodman.
Okay.
And Copland was in Latin America when he wrote it, so there's a lot of Latin jazz in the piece.
Okay.
And it starts out with a very haunting first movement, and then a very long, hard clarinet cadenza.
Are you starting to second guess yourself? No.
How about triple guess?
Did you have some wine when you had this idea come to you? I'm just curious.
Probably, or a gin and tonic.
So that's the Copland with the the clarinet piece, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm curious. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then, what's the piece you're doing, Sally?
So I'm doing a concerto for flute by the French composer Jacques Ibert. It's one of the more challenging concertos for flute and orchestra, although we're of course playing with piano on this program. And it went unperformed for a number of years because people thought it was too hard. it's fun. It's fast. It's complex. It's technically very challenging, and it's got a lot to offer. Three movements. Fast, slow, fast, as we say, with some interludes and a short cadenza as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Karen, how did this idea, this thing come up? Like you said, let's challenge ourselves and play some concertos. Is this something you'd been wanting to do for a while?
Well, I was looking for music to make myself continue to practice.
Ah, okay.
And when I was in college, a grad student performed it at a master class, and I just sat there with my jaw dropped, like, oh my gosh, he's so good, and that is so hard. So I just thought, well, why don't you try learning it? See how it goes. And so just over time, then Sally's like, we should do a recital, and I, ooh, ooh.
You thought, okay, let's do concertos.
Yeah, I waited till I felt it was good enough to do a recital.
Oh, she sounds great on it. Yeah. Don't even let her, like, underplay this. She sounds fantastic on it.
And I'm sure in both of the locations. So Friday night, again, mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock, it's over at the Kunikidi Northern Light United Church. Yeah. That's a beautiful space,
yes,
really
is.
Resonant, really mm-hmm. beautiful. And then the atrium at 2 p.m., at the museum on Saturday, January 31st. And these are pay-as-you-can.
That's right.
So there's no barrier to entry for classical music, which sometimes there often can be. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the missions of the Combrio Chamber Series is to do these pieces, these smaller ensembles that go. A lot of times you have, this last few years, you've been doing a lot at the museum.
Yes, and, for about almost 10 years.
Yeah, and that space is so, sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just lovely. So how long do you've wanted to work on this piece since college, I guess you said, right? Is that what you were saying?
It was only in like the last couple of years when I've been trying to make myself practice.
Practice more. Why yeah. Why do you want to practice more? I mean, is that just to keep the instrument going?
Yeah. Because my old habits were I would get my clarinet out before like a symphony concert and then once the concert was over I would put it away and then but about that time was when I was sounding good.
Right.
And then so I got sick of that.
Keep it going.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, I'm sick of putting it down and sounding bad. So just to make myself
She doesn't sound bad
pick it up.
Ever.
Well, but when you've taken, you know, 2 or 3 years off, it's just
Well, I mean a lot of times they say, like, you know, you're the harshest, you know, critic for yourself, right? Like if you're wanting to challenge yourself, I think that's admirable in my opinion. So how did, because I've talked to Sally many times on this show, but I'm curious, Karen, in terms of your story, how did you pick up the clarinet first? Was it when you were in, like, junior high, high school?
In sixth grade.
Sixth grade, okay.
Yep, because I wanted to play the flute, but there were 10 flute players.
Oh, thank God you don't play the flute. Oh, my Lord.
Now you guys can be friends.
That's right. Otherwise, yeah, we're totally friends, yeah.
Flute players, from what I hear, they go at each other.
Oh, yeah. It's just a mess.
You picked up the clarinet, and then what is it about the sound of the clarinet that keeps you involved?
I suppose the rich sound of the clarinet, the versatility of the clarinet.
Yeah.
And it's in my blood.
Yeah. And did you end up going to school for it?
Well, I was on a music scholarship, but I studied engineering.
Oh, okay.
So.
I see.
Yeah.
How did you keep up over the years?
Well, it was a love-hate thing, and it came and went. And I feel like it's finally the clarinet's on my terms instead of someone else's terms. So I guess that's where, you know, why not play the Copland Concerto?
Why
on my
not
terms?
Give it a shot, right?
Yeah.
That's so cool. And Sally, just to remind folks, the flute, is that your main instrument, the flute?
It is.
Okay,
it is,
but you play some other stuff too? Or is the flute your main?
I play piccolo and alto flute. And yeah, sure, but mostly
bass
I just
flute?
Play flute. Yeah,
play
I played, flute. Yeah, you're right, I play bass flute too.
Bass flute, so all the flutes.
All the flutes.
All the flutes.
Yeah.
And how did you start about that age too? Like
I was fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
Yeah, here at Glacier Valley School.
Okay.
And I sort of took it up because there was a flute in the closet, you know, at home that my aunt had. And so I tried that and I actually really liked it and grew to love it and just, you know, practiced every day until I got better and better and better. You know?
So, and is this concerto that you're doing, mm-hmm. this is the Jacques Ibert one, is this one of the most challenging things that you've feel like you've ever played?
Yeah. I mean, I've played music in different styles, and so the different styles can really offer a different set of challenges and technical problems. But this one, it's It's tough. I think in part because when you learn a concerto, there's all these standards out there, you know. Mm. And I just feel like it's the bar becomes very high, you know. Mm. But it's fun. It's fun to do. It's fun to try it out, and I think we're gonna play great.
You're underselling yourself. I'm sure, like you said, she sounds fantastic. You're gonna sound fantastic. This is gonna be a fantastic concert. I'm curious when you describe it, Karen, as being difficult. What's difficult about playing it? Is it how? Because I know you said fast, slow, fast for yours, or slow, fast, slow. Whatever. I think you said fast, slow, fast. Is it the amount of time between the changing in the notes, or is it the tempo?
Well, it's technically difficult. Just
finger
a lot of notes,
finger combos,
and how fast it goes. And then what I found is that the first movement that you think it's slow, but being able to make the note jumps just takes a lot of work.
Interesting.
That it sounds smooth and. It was deceptively, it's deceptively hard.
Yeah, and that piece is over 15 minutes, and my concerto is over 20. So,
oh, wow.
You know, it's,
so you're breathing heavy when this is done.
Yeah.
That's a workout.
Yeah.
And then so you're doing those before you do the piece that we heard at the beginning.
And we're actually doing a fourth
set. Yeah, you're doing something else, right?
Yeah, Robert Munchinsky's six duos for clarinet and flute. And we both sort of have like a interesting connection to Robert Munchinsky. He taught at the music school at the University of Arizona where she went and took lessons. And I was born in Tucson.
Oh.
And my aunt and I played a lot of his music. So I just, you know, he taught composition and piano there. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's cool to play his piece. It's very jazzy as well, jazz elements into his six duos. And I think people are going to love them. They're just short little miniatures.
And what's it called? Six?
The six duos.
The six duos, and it's basically for clarinet and flute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is the symbiotic relationship between clarinet and flute?
Oh. Well, there's different timbre.
Uh-huh.
You know, our tone colors and timbre are different, and they sort of complement each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it seems like there's a lot of music written for this combo, yeah?
Yeah, there's a fair amount.
Yeah.
So it's, I like the combination. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, and you like each other, I think.
Yeah,
that's
right. We do.
Well, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're supporting each other in this thing. I think it is continuing to challenge yourself as an artist is a valuable thing, right?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then sharing that with the Juno audience is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's going to be happening this weekend, like in a couple days. So you got to get to rehearsal.
Yeah.
So Friday.
Hey, lay off there.
I know.
I'm like, man,
we need to rest.
We've got a rehearsal tomorrow. Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't know when you were. I guess I don't know when you rehearse. But rehearsal makes good, right?
Yeah.
But it's the Combrio Chamber Series. This is called Winds in Winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's January 30th, this Friday. It's going to be at the Kunikidi Northern Light United Church at 7 p.m. and then Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Alaska State Museum atrium. It's pay as you can.
Pay as you can.
It sounds like a fantastic program.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be fun because people can be like watching the fingers, right?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be that's the challenge. Like, it's going to be really fun. And I know it's going to sound awesome.
And it's not every day you get to hear a concerto in Juno, you know?
Yeah, right? So come on out.
And you'll get two.
Yeah. You get two
for the price of one.
Because donations are accepted, of course.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I really appreciate
you.
It. Karen Pallenberg and, of course, Sally Schlichting, who runs Combrio Chamber Series. You can find them on Facebook and all those kind of places for information more about the concert coming up this weekend. Gunstich for being here. Really appreciate it.
Gunstich. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, World Crest Trivia from Juno World Affairs Council. Pete Griffin previews his fireside lecture, and we look ahead to next week's First Friday with the Juno Douglas City Museum. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday right here on KTOO and KAUK. Find us online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheese!
Nash.